Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
June shows coming up. Hollywood, June 4th. I'm at the Troubadour. It's going to be a really cool show. June 24th, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, one night only. June 25th, headed to Omaha, Nebraska, one night only. And back at Brea, California, June 30th, one night only as well. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. And I want to say thank you again. Every week, this show continues to grow. I appreciate all the love, the support. Thank you so much. Please subscribe to the YouTube. It means nothing to you and everything to us. I promise you, you want a free way to help the show? If you're watching, just hit that damn thing. It's that easy. If you got to have more, hit up the Patreon. It's $5 a month. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all, and I'm highlighting the lowlights with y'all. And you all have some wild fucking stories. I can't. You got to go watch the promos. You got to watch. We got shit going on all over the place. Cold cases getting solved. Some getting created. Two pussies going to one pussy. Like, it's a lot of shit. Yeah, it's a lot of shit going down over there. $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. And you get the Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. All right. That's the biz right there. You know what we do over here? We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I'm very excited to have this guest on today for the first time here, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Corinne Fisher. Welcome to the Honeydew for Corinne.
Thank you.
So for y'all.
Thank you. I love it. Can I ask you first, why did you call it the Honeydew?
Yes.
Because it is the fruit. I see it. I'm looking at pictures of it right now. Yeah, it's an underrated fruit, I would say, too.
That's nice of you to say.
Yeah, I truly love
it. That's why. This is so the whole thing. So these are fan submitted pictures.
Okay.
Of a perfectly good fruit.
Right.
That's tossed aside.
It so is.
One night I was having dinner by myself in a diner and I ate my fruit cup and
right.
I ate everything but the honeydew.
You did.
I did.
Oh.
I even ate the fucking that red grape. I like green grapes, but
right.
I even ate that one red grape.
Okay.
Right. And as I got up and I walked out, I just looked across the tables and I saw honeydew everywhere.
That's literally making me very sad right now.
And I was like, wow, this is a perfectly good fruit that people just, it's not that I have this hate against it. I always say it's not like I just don't fuck with it.
Okay.
And then it's like the iceberg lettuce of the fruit world. You know what I mean? It's just water.
Right.
And then I realized like, oh my God, that's me.
That's you.
I'm a perfectly good person who's been thrown away time and time again.
Oh, that got real sad real fast.
And that's why it's called the honeydew, and that's why we highlight the lowlights.
Okay, I knew there was going to be a good reason. I just couldn't exactly figure it out without...
But that's my favorite one, the cigarette in the...
I was like, I love honeydew. I would totally eat just a pile of honeydew.
I feel like it's only good. I've researched it. There's like 1 month a year it's like good.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the problem. So it never really got time to shine.
Well, first of all, thank you for being here.
Of course.
I've been a huge fan for a long time. Y'all don't even know. I know you're on the New York side of things, but
we are.
Will you please plug, promote everything and anything you'd like?
Yeah, sure. So, well, Christina Hutchinson and I, my comedy partner, we are mainly in town right now to promote the comedy special that we just released on YouTube. It's called Our Special Day. It's a half hour of stand-up from both Christina and myself separately, and then we give you a taste of what Guys We Fucked the live experience is like when we take our show on the road. So there's a segment called 7 Minutes in Therapy, where people bring problems in front of large crowds and we solve them. And then there's also a segment called Sexting Theater, where we do dramatic readings of people's sex messages. And this is all, like, this is not produced segments. This is literally just fans of the show in the audience who are willing to come up and overshare. And I directed the special as well. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks, yeah. I'm like, I have a BFA in directing, so let's, you know, start using it. My team, actually, my agent was like, do you want to direct it? Because I was gonna thinking
of... Are you going to pay me?
Well, it wasn't even about the
money. I know.
Yeah, it wasn't about the money. I didn't get paid any extra. But I was so excited to have that credit because it's something that I really need to concentrate
more on. Where do you have your
degree
from?
SVA, School of Visual Arts.
All right.
So, yeah, pretty good school.
Is that your directorial debut in the professional world?
I've done some like web series for other comedians and some like off Broadway plays in New York, but it's definitely the thing that I think is going to get the most attention.
Yeah.
So, I was happy to do it.
Man, okay. So you have quite a range then artistically, which is pretty impressive.
Well, I think it's less that I have a range and more that I have, like,
I sit across from comedians every week. You have a range.
Well, it's like,
girl.
I'm an artist, but I really have my shit together. And I think most artists don't. Like, I make a great assistant, which I think almost no comedians could say that about themselves. But it's kind of bad when you can be a good assistant because then people want you to be the assistant because your shit's together.
Right.
So I always say that you should have your shit not together so that the only choice you have is to do the art and no one wants you to do anything else because
Amen.
You will fuck it up.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So some people come on, they tell a life story.
Right.
Some people come on, tell what an experience, whatever. I want to know a little bit about your background, of course, where you're from and how you grew up and things. But I really want to hear about this last 4 years you emailed us about.
Okay. My life story is I don't have an interesting childhood story anyway because I had a nice childhood. So there's not I always tell people on interviews, I'm like, I know you guys love to suck these sad stories out of comedians. I had a mom and a dad who remained married until my dad died. We had dogs. I have a little brother who's an engineer and we grew up in suburban New Jersey, Union, New Jersey. Shout out to Artie Lang. And my childhood was not, I'm sure, like Artie Lang's at all.
Most childhoods were.
Yeah. And also Ray Liotta, also from Union.
Oh, okay.
So it gives you a sense of the kind of place that I'm coming from. Robert Wool, Arliss. And then things got more out of control when I was released by myself into the real world because I moved to New York City when I was 17. So
where's your love for the arts? Were you also, did you play sports? Were you athletic as well?
Did I play sports or did sports play me? I mean, I played, you know, basketball at the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
But I mean, the sport I played, I don't even know if I would consider it a sport. It, you know, you get a varsity letter for it, but I was a baton twirler.
Oh, and the
that was my passion. No, color guard is different.
Oh, it is.
Color guard, no offense, is for dorks. Baton twirling is.
I'll tell you what we call them later.
baton twirling isn't popular in the Northeast. It's mostly a Southern thing.
Okay,
but in New Jersey, we did have a lot of twirling competition, so I was lucky. I just really like it. It's like cheerleading, but you have a stick in your hand.
I've never heard of that. Have you heard of that at other high schools?
Baton twirling?
Yeah.
Not really in my area. There was a couple surrounding towns. I went to Ms. Patty's Dolls Baton Twirling School.
There's a school for that
Patty's Dolls. Yes.
Patty's out there teaching.
Yeah. It was, oh God, this is like taking me down memory lane. I loved Patty's Dolls. But it was like the school was just like this church room that they rented out, you know, on weekdays at 3 p.m. And because you just needed a place with really high ceilings because you need to be able to throw a baton.
I was
spin
just
under
about
it.
To ask how. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And I mean, it was like, I think it was those kind of ceilings where, you know, when you hit it, the block moves. I don't know what that's called, but
that
you
little
know,
tile. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're not going to break anything, but it looks fucked up when you look up. So, yeah, we went to I went to Patty's Dolls baton twirling school. And that was the sport that I played. I was also in all the school plays, editor, one of the, you know, editors of the newspaper that, you know, future business leaders of America. I've been an overachiever since I was born.
All right, overachiever. I'm going to ask you straight up right now. If somebody said $1,000, could you go out front, twirl that motherfucker as high as you could and grab that baton today?
Could I grab it?
Could you still do what you did at your best?
Oh, at my best, I wasn't that good. So, yes.
Fair answer.
Like, could I catch it? Yes.
I guess just because you love something doesn't mean you have to be great at it.
Oh, yeah, no. I've loved lots of things I'm not good at. I would also, like, even, like, there's video of me literally, like, going like this as I turn.
Covering up.
Yeah. Because it hurts to get whacked with a metal stick.
With that old crutch that looked like the crutch tips on the end of it. Those white rubber ones that are hard as shit.
And I, in my high school, we twirled fire. So.
What?
Yeah.
You could never do that now.
No, I think they still
do it.
Maybe
in Jersey.
Yeah.
It is Jersey.
Yeah, we literally just dumped the ends in kerosene and ignited it. My favorite part of it is because I'm an Italian Jew, so I have hairy arms, and it would singe all your arm hair off. So it was like a free waxing. I love that part. I would look forward to it around Thanksgiving.
You said you weren't even that good, so you're throwing a fiery fucking baton up in the air. And
I wasn't that good, but I was competent. I could catch it. My parents would just make fun of me because everyone else would throw it so high, and sometimes they would drop it. I would always throw it like 2 inches above my head, but I said, did I not always catch it?
Yeah, right.
It's like, what do we want? Do we want success or do we want to try to be the best at this? I was like, I want to catch it and then move on with my day.
It is on fire.
There's no future in twirling. What are we doing? I was just doing it for fun. What I hate about childhood is that all the things I loved had to become competitive. I loved gymnastics. And then all of a sudden, you know, then we need to train so hard that I'm going to skip a period. I just like tumbling. I just like tumbling. It's insane. Violin. No, it's like, can anything just be fun without it having to be, you have to be the best at it and have some kind of monetary future in it? Just like have a little bit of fun. This is why I don't think I've ever had fun. I mean, also, that's part of how I grew up. And my parents only took us on educational vacation, so that's why.
Okay, so listen, so far your childhood sounds kind of a little not so great.
No, it really was. Therapists always try to pry, and I go, no.
I'm not trying to pry into it, truly, but if you're sound, truly you're was. Like, man, it's always educational, which ends up, in hindsight, it is great.
Yeah.
I would love for my daughter to be like, remember that time you took me to the Smithsonian and shit? Yes.
Remember that time we walked to Edgar Allan Poe's house in Baltimore?
That?
Oh, yeah, I've been to a lot of Edgar. Edgar Allan Poe lived various places, you know, in the Northeast. But I, we went to his house, and it's not a safe area now.
Listen, I'm from Baltimore, and I wanted to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Baltimore, and I had field trips there quite often, which all of us would be like, are we for real coming down this?
Wait, area? Your accent, that's Baltimore?
Mm-hmm. I mean, mine
feels so Southern.
Mine's, I get a lot of that, but mine's not as hard as like Stavros and I'll do that. Okay, hon.
Okay.
It's not like my relatives.
Stavi's from D.C.?
No, he's Baltimore,
too. Oh, he's Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we would go there all the time. And so they would leave. There was money around at one time. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no. You stole from Edgar Allan Poe's memorial?
Well, I started to.
His grave?
And then the fucking teacher's like, and if you ever take money from here, it's bad luck. And we were like,
yes.
Right back on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And we added something to it. Like, here you go, Edgar Allan Poe. But you're
interest.
Right. Not a good neighborhood.
Mm-mm.
Not a safe neighborhood to be taking some kids in.
Well, it's funny because it's a predominantly black area. And anytime the people in the neighborhood saw white people walking through, they would just shout at the white people, Edgar Allan Poe's house is this way. Which I thought was very charming.
That's
and
nice.
Welcoming
Charm
and nice.
City.
I thought
Charm
it was
City.
Great. I was like, thanks. That is exactly why I'm here.
All right, so I don't get an email like this a lot, these things that happened all in the last 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, not in the span of 4 years, but I can appreciate it because in the span of 4 years, I lost both of my grandmothers, a girl who was like my sister, and then my dad and grandmother. I mean, that was all in 5-6 years.
Right. My grandpa also died. I just didn't even add that.
I mean...
In the past 4 years, yeah.
I have a friend of mine. Her name's Carlotta Wood. She does the voice of...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino's home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Over for the show. She's the one that announces the show for all you that ask all the time. And I still say it and you still ask. But she came on and told me this quote she had heard. And she said, I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through. Mm. And I was like, man, oh, man.
Wow. Yeah.
So tell me what has happened to you in the last 4 years.
Do you want to go in chronological order?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it started in 2018 where I'm like, can I do math? Yes. It started in 2018. I was in like a 2.5 year relationship with who I still consider this day, even though I hate him and have a joke in my special about how I hope him and his wife die, but separately, so it's not romantic. And I mean it, and it feels good to say it every time, and I'll never stop saying it, even though a litigator did say, you might want to stop.
The litigator's involved.
You might want to stop saying that. I said, but I can't. That was, you know, during the time when... So it was right after the 2016 election, and I was dating this person before we knew Trump was running against Hillary Clinton, and when it was announced, you know, when he was selected as the nominee, I found out that the person I was, you know, dating, already in love with, was a Donald Trump supporter. Of course, in 2016, we didn't know what that meant yet. We had an idea, but we had no idea where it was going to go. And I wasn't, like, I didn't hold that against him. I am very open. I have another podcast besides Guys We Fuck called Without a Country, where the whole purpose of it is to read news from the left, the right, and I'll go to an anarchist website, anything, and just try to get a sense of the truth. I don't care what feels good or what you want the story to be. I truly do try to be a truth seeker in anything. I want facts. I want stats. That includes things that we talk about on Guys We Fucked, like sex work. I'm like, I don't want to know in an ideal world the effects of sex work. I want to know, how does sex work really affect women and men, but mostly women now. And so we started, we're both very into politics, and I talked about it on Guys We Fucked because I thought it would be really interesting that two people who were so adamant about different political candidates were dating and how we were going to navigate that. And it was very poorly received. I was actually really surprised
by
how
him?
No, it was poorly received by the listeners of Guys We Fucked. Like, immediately they were like, you, because it was that air of like, you have to dump this person because he feels politically different than you. But we had, you know, it's not like I don't have these conversations with people before I get in relationships. For me, the two main things I need to know about you are you pro-choice? Because we're going to be having sex. Like, that's, I don't understand how you can have a partner who feels differently about that one, because that's something that could happen. So you need to know that. And then secondly, what are your feelings on LGBTQ plus, you know, stuff? Because I have a lot of gay friends, and you meeting my gay friends is more important than you meeting my parents. Like, if that doesn't go well, this can't work. And he was fine with both of those things. I took him to a gay club early on, because it's like, there's one thing to say you're fine, and then there's another thing to like take you into a space where you're going to actively be hit on by men. And I think it really shows.
I just want to ask you
who you are.
Gay club. So tell me, is this it was more men than women?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, okay. There's very few lesbian clubs. Sadly.
Is that right?
There's not a lot. Lesbians aren't really known for like partying.
I know. All my gay friends tell me lesbians are like, as soon as they meet, that what's the joke? They show up with a U-Haul,
right?
Or something. Like,
right.
They're just like, fuck party, we're moving in.
Yeah. No. So I was raised in gay clubs. I do credit drag queens with part of the reason that I'm a comedian. No one's funnier. No one's more brazen. No one's more in your face. A drag queen could make any comedian cry on any given day. And so. I know everything lined up, and I had never felt so understood in my entire life. That's a problem. Like, I do this, you know, show where we have really deep conversations with people. People are telling us about their, you know, their rapes, their traumas, and I have sympathy for all these people, and I have empathy, but I don't, a lot of people's experiences and the way they see the world, more importantly than their experiences, don't resonate with me. You know, people will be sitting and telling me a story like, you know, when someone says something to you and you just can't stop thinking about it. And I'm like, not really. Like, in a way that it negatively affects you. Like, and you keep thinking, like, I should have said something different. And I go, no, I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't spend a lot of time thinking of things that I could have or should have said. I just try to say the thing I really mean right off the bat, and then I don't have that problem. I don't know. I just always felt alien, and now I have since learned it's apparently because I had a nice childhood and I love myself, which was a wild to learn that at like 30. I was like, I thought most people loved themselves, and it was a few people who were working on it. But that little information
I just talked about this yesterday. I'm like, is this what it feels like to like yourself?
Oh, you don't like yourself?
And it's not that I don't like myself. Honestly, I should take that back. I do love myself, but I've not used to having good. So my mind is always,
right,
when is that? When's the other foot going to drop?
Right.
That's where I'm always at. Is just like,
I mean, I feel.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm
not used to feeling.
Right. I'm Jewish. I mean, I am always expecting a bad thing to happen. But
positive all the time.
Yeah. I'm not. So, yeah. I'm
like, this is what it's like to feel nice every
day. Yeah. I'm glass half empty for sure, but it doesn't like weigh on me.
It took journaling for me to finally get to glass half empty.
Yeah. To get to glass half empty?
Yeah. I was always glass. Wait, no. Glass half empty. Glass half full.
I was like, that journaling didn't work then.
I was so positive before.
That's so funny.
No, I am now half full, but it took writing and writing. But it's interesting because the therapist I was talking to yesterday, she goes, you know, just human nature, we go negative first.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes,
that's interesting.
Statistically, you have to have two thoughts to make a positive thought, because our inclination as humans, it's just the way we're wired, is something negative. Okay, let's think something positive. But you
right.
got to do the work to be able to even think. Let's have another thought about this, and let's not make it a second negative thought. Let's go positive with
right.
this. It took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
And I don't bat 1,000, but right. it took me a while to get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can only imagine. I don't know. But yeah. The loving yourself. It's just so everyone looks at me like they can't believe that I didn't know most people didn't love themselves. But I think that's because I like took people at their word a lot of the time. And most people are kind of walking through life and pretending and saying things as if they do believe in themselves and are confident. And I didn't realize that most of that was fake. And I'm not a naive person. I just, for me, it's just so like, why? Like, it just seems like such a, honestly, a pain in the ass to lie. Lying to me is such a pain in the ass because you have to remember all these stories that you told that are untrue. It's not like I'm on my high horse being like, the truth is the best option. No, it's the easiest. It's easy.
Right. It's easy.
I have other things I want to work on. I can't remember a web of lies all the time. I'm going to get tripped up and I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to have a drink and I'm going to say the wrong thing. You know, I'm going to say the lie. But if you're always saying the truth, then there's no mistakes to be made. So I was, you know, so things don't resonate me, whatever. I was confused. And I don't even know how I got here, but I always somehow get here. The relationship went on and on, and it became more other people had a problem with it.
That's what you were saying. Your friends were like, or no, the fans were like, you can't
date him. That weighs on you. And then also it, you know, I have this outlet every week and it made me not want to share anything because I thought it would be really cool to share a love story of people from two different political parties. Like I thought it was going to be great. and then I just ended up having to kind of hide my relationship. And if we did get in a fight about politics, I felt like I couldn't talk about it to anyone. Because at first it was fans and then it was friends and then it was family. And so when you have a relationship, no matter how good it's going, and you can't talk about anything that's going wrong in it. And at this time, I wasn't in therapy yet. The stuff just bubbles inside you. And then he started reading a lot of Reddit threads, and that's how all horror movies should start.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good for anybody.
Yeah, and this person that I love so much, I saw his mental health like devolving, and he's a smart person, but it's like he was getting sucked into conspiracy theories but it was happening kind of before all the QAnon stuff and the widespread things that we knew were happening, especially on the right. And I just saw his brain being lost to politics right in front of my eyes. And I don't even know how to put it into words correctly because I haven't fully processed it myself yet. Because I don't think until I quarantined when I was sitting alone for a long time did I realize how deeply that time had affected me. But it really was what I imagine, like losing a parent to dementia or having someone's like schizophrenia really come to a head, because it was this person that you love and this person, the person I felt like I knew most in my entire life, this person who finally understood me, who I could say really anything to without judgment, and he would get it. I could come home and say the most fucked up things, the craziest thoughts I had, the most void of ethics thoughts I had, and he would always understand. And that person's beautiful mind was just being lost to something that I didn't even feel was noble. Just I don't feel any part of politics are particularly noble. So that was the issue. It's not like he had, you know, gone crazy because he went to save children from an orphanage that was on fire and he was traumatized or something like that. Like that I could have stayed through. But it was scary. It really felt like there was a stranger in my house. We didn't live together, but he was there enough that I was a stranger in my house. And you're watching someone die or morph into another person in front of you.
What's the moment where you really were like, all right, this has to end? That you knew?
It was, there was not one singular moment. This is a person that I had to dump three times for it to finally stick. And then one day we were just sitting on my couch watching a movie. And if the whole time you're sitting there, you're thinking, I have to break up with this person. I have to break up with this person. I have to break up with this person. I just came out. I go, this has to. I just looked over and he was on his phone, I'm sure, again, on Reddit, doing God knows what, you know, reading Breitbart or whatever. And I read Breitbart too because I want to know what's going on, but I don't like take everything that they say seriously. Yeah. Nor do I take everything that the New York Times says seriously. And Yeah. And I said, you have to go. And then it unraveled so much worse from there. I found out that he had cheated on me during the time when I was trying to break up with him. Which is so hurtful, because it's like, I tried to break up with you. You begged to stay in the relationship and then cheated on me. I now, again, know more from talking about relationships every week that cheating is often a reflection on the person doing the cheating, not the person being cheated on. And I am definitely someone who, when I stop connecting with you, I can get very cold. And I know, especially straight men need a lot of like love, outward love that I think is that women don't need as much, like a lot of like, you're great, a lot of cuddling, that kind of stuff. I'm not good at that. And it definitely gets worse when I feel distant from you, because the moment I feel disconnected from someone, it's a very hard for that to come back, because I'm protecting myself at this point. I'm like, you don't understand me anymore, and so I'm not going to share any more of myself with you. It's over. But yeah, that's something that I'm still mourning. And he ended up marrying someone who looks just like me, who's a younger comedian. I had a lot of feminist issues with that. Because it felt like he was just doing, like, you know, marrying me with less opinions.
So within the span of what, 2 years, he gets married?
Yeah, yeah.
You're split and married?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To a girl who looks just like you?
Yeah, yeah. Very
enough.
It's you know, you there's a, we all have a type, but sure. She's,
you'd all be in a lineup together.
Yes, we'd all go to the same audition.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yes. And it was weird, because even though he was this, you know, Trump supporter, he was always liked to date these very liberal feminist chicks. So, like, the first photo I saw of his now wife, she was wearing, you know, a nasty woman. What was it? What did he call Hillary Clinton? You know, and then they made all that merch, and then I forgot about it because it was so awful that I just pushed it out of my head. And like the pink pussy hat. And I was like, even I'm not this feminist, because even I make fun of these feminists, yeah. Because it's just like, I don't know, it feels too branded. To me, feminist is like, let's light something on fire. That's the kind of feminist I am. Let's ignite a man. No.
You get the fucking, you fired up.
Let's murder
that's
someone.
That's your background from the batons. That
yeah.
fire
oh, that's
right
true.
There.
That's
where
true.
It is. It's fire in you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was like, I'm more Malcolm X than Martin Luther King. I'm like, let's really fucking get shit done. I don't, a quiet march, no thank you.
So he didn't try to fight for the relationship or anything when by the time it had come and you
by
said
the third
right,
dumping
it was out.
No,
was right.
But I mean, he did do kinds of things where like I would block him on social media so that I could heal, because it's hard. Even when you do the dumping, it's hard to see another person move on and live their life. That's difficult. And especially when it's someone like
people never had to do that before. Social media. It was breakup. And if they're out of your circle, they're gone. Maybe you ran into them somewhere down the line or whatever, but you didn't see every fucking thing they ate, did, said after that.
Oh, I mean, I was zooming in on plates to see if there was a woman's reflection in them. It was bad. I can't be doing that. That's not good for my mental health.
At least you're honest about it.
Yeah, I have obsessive compulsive disorder, and it really gets flared up with breakups badly. Okay. So I just, you know, I just ruminate over all the other things that I could have done differently, which kind of is the impetus for guys we fucked, because I'm such a... I'm like at the core an A-plus student. So I look at everything that way. How could I have aced that relationship? You know, how could I have done that? It's just like, it's constant like win, 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 success, 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 to the point where I'm like, am I even enjoying this moment? And then that's how I got into psychedelics. But, you know, that's a whole different, that's a happy story. So we don't talk about
story.
That here.
No.
You know, I had to explain to him that sometimes we need to block people for ourselves, not because I'm like, this isn't about you. You know, I need to heal now because you have traumatized me. And then, there was just a series of like phone calls, you know, after I started dating someone else. I was happy. I hadn't talked to this person anymore. And then out of the blue, he calls me to let me know that he's now in a serious relationship with this woman he would go on to marry. Like, you don't, why? You call? Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It was a gaslighting call. You know, gaslighting is overused now, but you know, and the worst part was he started the conversation by going, how are you, just want to see how you're doing. I like excitedly tell him about my life. This is a person I love. This is a person who I would wanted to consider a friend in the future for 30 minutes.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
You still were there. You were still there, though.
Yeah, I cared. I knew I had to distance myself from this person, but I was really sad about his mental health. I just couldn't do anything more about it. I mean, I offered to pay for therapy because I had more money than him at the time. Well, still. And so I offered to help pair him with a therapist to pay for that. But that's something that you have to really want to do. And he did go once, but, you know, once doesn't solve it. I was there. Like, I was like, I'm ready to go in the trenches with you. I want to make this work. Like, you are my teammate and I give a shit about you. And I never really felt that way about anyone romantically before. Friends, for sure. But at a certain point, you're like, well, either we're both going to go down with this ship or I'm going to have to leave you on the ship to drown or swim to shore or just fucking figure it out. And I ultimately, because I mean, at that time, my health was suffering. Like, I look at pictures of me from that time. It's like, I look older than I do now. I look, my skin is just like breaking out. I'm overweight. Like, the relationship was killing me. And I didn't even know until like 2 years after how bad it had gotten. I think the moment when I knew we had a breakup was I had taken him to Denver. Christine and I were playing Comedy Works Denver, and we got this amazing opportunity to open for Dave Chappelle.
Oh, man.
And our anniversary, my ex and I, our anniversary was around that time. He's a comic too, or was. I don't think he does it anymore. And I was like, I took him on this trip. And like, the first thing is like, we get on the plane. I paid for everything. We get on the plane, you know, he's complaining about where we're sitting on the plane, about the amount of room that we have. And I'm not fucking flying Spirit. It was Delta. Yeah, it was main cabin, but I didn't have as much money at that time. And like, so I'm like,
still, yeah, still, but it's
like, who complains about,
seriously,
just like that kind of stuff? Like, I will spend $10,000 on someone, and all you have to do is not complain. That's all I ask. I will plan the trip. All you have to do is come. And the only thing I ask of you is that you don't fucking complain. And that seems like a really hard request for a lot of boyfriends. And you know what? Also, I have to look in the mirror because why am I dating these people? But whatever. That trip, with, you know, kind of like the final test, like, can this work out? And obviously it couldn't work out. So right after we came home, I dumped him. And I was like so mad. I was like, oh, I can't believe I introduced you to Dave Chappelle. But it's fine. It's okay. So that was the moment. But yeah, this is not like this. It's hard to, again, like, verbalize this because I don't exactly know the answer or how I'm going to resolve this in my own life. It's something I still talk about in therapy to this day. And it's something that no matter, I was having nightmares about this person for, still do sometimes. Like,
still,
bad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What really. Is it a recurring nightmare?
Not a recurring nightmare, but just always like me having to defend myself against this person, like physically, you know.
Oh, really?
Which is something that never happened in the relationship. I don't want to put that out there. But it's like, it truly feels, I've gotten very into woo-woo, as a lot of white women did during quarantine. I will say that I've always been into Wicca since I was like in the seventh grade. So just, I want to, it's not all new. But like, I did like learn how to read tarot in the past year.
Real quick, is that a Donnie Darko ring you're wearing?
No, it's not. People think it is. It's from this Australian company called Heart of Bone.
Okay.
But yeah, Billie Eilish made these popular. I actually just like, I work with them now a little bit, but I truly just love the jewelry, so. Okay. I like a, you know, if it was stand up, I like a ring because you're holding the microphone.
Wiccan.
Yeah, Wiccan.
It's not new to you.
It's not new to me. And so I felt like there was, it was like they were trying, he was trying to infiltrate my dreams at this point. You know, it's like I've cut him off on all social media. He wrote me an email at one point. You know, defending his now wife because I was like not chatting with her in comedy clubs when she would come by, which is a wild suggestion.
Man,
And, you know, and they were mad because I was talking about them on Guys We Fucked. Never her by name, him by name, because he had been on the show and agreed to it. And he's a public person, and you don't have a protection like that when you're a public person, as long as I'm telling the truth, which I was. Yeah. And I was like, well, it's interesting that now's the time that you decide to, you know, protect a woman. But because you certainly didn't protect me mentally. And I ended that email with never, ever contact me again. And I really meant it. And even though I was like, oh, you know, it'd be nice if you did really work for it. But and he hasn't contacted me since. But I replied with the meanest email that I've ever written to anyone.
Now, how long ago was that now since that last email?
2 years? Maybe 2020, early 2020. Okay.
So have you dated again? You said you have?
Oh, yeah. Lots of people. Yeah.
But have you had a boyfriend again? Someone you felt like this about?
No. And that, and there's the problem. Right. Of course, you know. I mean, I take breakups really hard because I think I really never connect with anyone. The only person who I had met since I broke up with him that I felt like I could possibly connect with on that level was a chef named Carl, famous chef, actually. He's like on all those Guy Fieri grocery games, Carl Rose, and kind of a friend of the New York comedy community. I met him doing a podcast, and we really connected. Like, I love chefs, number one. It's very on record that it is my goal in life to date and marry a chef. I love
That's
chefs.
That's a good one. That's a good
I
goal.
Love them. I love food. All I do is watch the Food Network. And I feel like there's a couple occupations that really get along with comedians, and one of them, it's like chef, sex worker, and comedian all go together really well. In a way that even musicians know. I've dated musicians and I thought they would get comedy. They don't. I met him and I never immediately connect with someone. Christina is a great pairing for me because we're always sitting down at the podcast table. She could find something in common with a chair, and that is a gift. And God bless her. And that's why we make such a good team. But I, week after week, stare people in debt. And I just have dead eyes, and I know that, but just I find their stories interesting and I think about them a lot, but nothing they say resonates with me in any way. I feel like we're on different planes. And so, I mean, I feel that when words come out of my mouth, they go, is she talking gobbledygook? Like, what the fuck did this bitch just say? And I feel that way a lot with comedy. But I think that's why, you know, you try to think like, why am I a comedian? What fucked up thing happened that made me want to tell jokes on stage? And a couple years ago, I realized I was like, oh, because when an audience laughs at your jokes, that's them connecting to what you're saying. So if I continuously fail connecting with people one-on-one, at the very least I can connect with people from a little bit more of a distant space. And that's why I love comedy. But believe me, in the process of writing these jokes, when I'm working them out, there's a lot of audience members greeting me with dead eyes like, what? Like, how is that a joke? Or how is that relatable in any way? And so I sat down and did a podcast with this man, Carl, and I just connected with him immediately. And I get so excited because that never happens. I later found out he's from New Jersey, which is one of the number one signs that I'm going to get along with you. I'm from New Jersey. I really love people from New Jersey. There's just some kind of an unwritten thing that we share.
My neighbor, Jen, is from Jersey. She's got a Jersey tattoo here.
Very Jersey of her.
Very Jersey.
Yeah. And so we connected. He hit me up after that podcast appearance and was like, I was nervous, but like, I would like to take you on a date. Is that okay? I was like, fuck yes, let's go on a date. we're texting back and forth, really getting to know each other. We're both busy. I had to go to like JFL Toronto. So we're just like, you know, it's in that part where you're just like really getting to know each other, but we haven't gone on this official first date yet. And he was planning some like extravagant dinner at Rocco, one of Rocco Despirito's restaurants. And you're like, wow, this person's like really fucking putting in the work. And he's like a big meat guy. I don't eat meat, but he was putting together like this vegetarian thing. And I was like, what? Like, this person gives a shit. I love this. He seems interested.
At his home? Or did you go to a restaurant, his restaurant?
It was supposed to be one of Rocco Despirito's restaurants because I think he's one of the chefs who really has a grasp on vegetarian cuisine, because a lot of chefs kind of laugh at vegetarian cuisine as if it is nothing without the main protein. But that the first date never happened, because when I, even though we were talking nonstop for a couple weeks, I'm in Toronto. I wake up in the middle of the night, like 5 a.m. one time. I just, and I'm not a person who wakes up in the middle. I just woke up in the middle of the night and I was like looking around. I look at my phone. It's a text from my friend, the comedian Ryan Reese. He goes, "Carl's gone." And I'm like, what? You know, when you wake up, you go, what the fuck does that even mean? What?
Right.
What? What does that mean? And so, and then I finally like come out of like my sleep state a little bit more. And I'm like, is he fucking dead? So I'm Googling, which is the good thing about when a famous person dies, you can check it real quick. And yeah, he had gone on a trip somewhere in the Northeast and, you know, died of had a heart attack in his sleep, and his assistant found him dead.
How old?
42.
That's 40. My dad's age when he died.
Yeah, and so
same shit.
I'm Jesus, just there.
That's young.
I'm in another country, which is not. I don't know. There's just it feels it. You know, when someone you really care about dies, you want to be at home. I'm freaking out. Thank God I was on the road at that time with Rosebud Baker, who is really comfortable with death because her sister passed away when she was very young, drowned in a hot tub. Yeah.
I just talked about this. So
about Rosebud? Yeah.
Rosebud doesn't even know I know her. Rosebud doesn't even know that her story has affected me so much.
Her story affected me before I met her. Yeah.
Same.
I heard about, like,
have wanted to have her on the show, but I don't know if I could sit here and listen to it.
Oh.
Because I have my daughter's 7 now.
Mm.
And since she's been in pools and hot tubs.
Yeah.
Because of that fucking story.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't you fucking go under. You don't swim in here. I don't care if there's guards on that shit.
Yeah.
And.
Well, kids don't need to be in hot tubs anyway.
What our friends got a pool and it's like right next to it. It's like hot back and forth. You know what I mean?
Right.
Going back and forth in it. Yeah. Cold water, hot water, playing. I'm always out there though. I will.
Right.
Because of that fucking story.
Right.
And it runs through my goddamn mind. And I would like to have her on.
She's great. She'd be great.
I just, it ain't anything about her. It's all about me. Like, right. I have this story in my head, like, oh my God, this happened, and just awful. Yeah. Awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think laws change, like, I think because of that, with the switch has to be accessible. And that's how I knew, because I had heard about a child drowning in a hot tub, and I had heard that changed laws of where the emergency switch needs to be. And then later on in life, I would meet Rosebud and I would hear that story, and I was like, that has to be the same person.
It
has to be, you know?
Some of the things that helped me jumpstart my day, like workouts, meditation, journaling, hydration, they all clear my headspace, give me energy, all right? And when you push your body too hard or you just feel run down, it's extremely important to stay hydrated. So making hydration a priority helps us feel better on a day-to-day basis. And what I like most about Liquid IV is how easy it is to take with you no matter where you are. You just drop right in some water, you're good to go. You can put it in your pocket. There's no excuse not to be hydrated. One stick of Liquid IV hydration multiplier in 16 ounces of water.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. It contains 5 essential vitamins, B3, B5, B6, B12, and vitamin C. with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's made with premium ingredients, non-GMO, and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Grab Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you use my promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Experience better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code HONEYDEW. Understanding investing today can get really confusing when people keep using terms like meme stocks, altcoin, and shilling. With all the jargon flying around, it can be hard to figure out how to start investing. Getting your money right is easier with SoFi, the first investing platform to offer stocks, ETFs, automated investing, and cryptocurrency too, all in one app. Okay, so I already downloaded the app. I've been going through it. I love it, man. You can invest. You have the option to do your banking, credit card, track your finances, and check your credit score all right there. So whether you're eager to get started with investing or you already know the ropes and want to diversify your portfolio, SoFi has your back. There's no commissions on trading stocks and ETFs, and plus there are no account fees or hidden fees. Use fractional shares that start as low as $5 to buy brand new stocks, even if you don't have a couple grand lying around. Complimentary financial planners are ready to help with any questions, whether you're stuck on where to start or need help deciding what to do next. Cut through the jargon and make investing easier with SoFi. Visit SoFi.com/honeydew to learn how you can win up to $1,000 in stock when you open an account. That's SoFi.com/honeydew. Brokerage and active investing products offered through SoFi Securities, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC. Athletic Greens is the health and wellness company that makes comprehensive daily nutrition really simple. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our body the nutrients it needs to thrive. I don't care what you're doing, whether you're parenting, I'm out there working like you guys, I'm touring, and you know, I don't eat great. So having AG1 there is a huge deal for me. And as the research changes, so does AG1. While most nutritional products that come to market never evolve, Athletic Greens continues to obsessively improve AG1 based on the latest research, producing 53 improvements over the last decade and counting. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and it contains less than 1 gram of added sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while keeping it tasting good. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs, which I use all the time, with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. Now, let's get back to the dew.
But yeah, Rosebud and I have danced around each other's areas in life a long time before we became really good friends. We were on the same reality show, even though we never knew each other.
Is that right?
Yeah, this show called Boys Who Like Girls Who Like Boys, or Girls Who Like Boys Who Like Boys. It was on the Sundance Network. It was a reality show about straight women and their gay best friends, which I was ultimately fired from because my best friend and I, like, I wouldn't pretend to be in love with my gay best friend, and he wouldn't pretend to have a terrible drug problem. And so they were like, well, you need to go. And I was like, well, but why would we pretend? That's like a heavy thing to pretend on television that will affect our lives and careers.
But yeah. which would be a heavy drug problem.
And also, like, how, like, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm like, I'm not gonna be someone like, it feels pathetic to me to be in love with someone who will never and can never love you in the way that you need to be loved. That just was a foreign concept to me. I go, how can you even pitch that to me?
Can I run that same thought by you about Chef? Because now you felt like maybe Chef was a possible soulmate.
Oh yeah,
and now he's gone.
But he could love me at the time.
Can't now because he's gone.
Oh right. I mean, I know that. It's, I'm grieving what could have been, right, as my manager put it. Because that's the thing. It's what's frustrating about that death. And listen, I was really surprised by how deeply that affected me, but You know how sometimes you break up with someone who you're seeing for 2 months and that breakup was way harder than like a partner of 5 years? I don't know if you've ever had that experience, mm-hmm. but I mean, they also, you haven't, didn't know them long enough to have all the bad parts. So you're only grieving the good parts. I was grieving basically a perfect connection with someone,
right.
Which yes, in my logical mind, I know it would not have been perfect. And I know about the lifestyle he led, and I'm sure it would have pissed me. He would have pissed me off in a lot of ways.
But you'd ate good.
And he would have partied too hard and I would have been fucking annoyed, but I would have eaten a lot of good food.
I
was in bed for like 2 months just really grieving that. And I think it was also another hard hit after the mental health loss of, you know, the still greatest love of my life, even though I hate him.
I mean, it's huge of you to still be able to say that, because I don't know that I could get past
to say the greatest love of my life
and hate the person at the same time.
My mom is always mad at me for continuing to talk about him because she's like, you're giving him power and like letting him know that you care. And I go, but that's the truth.
But also, I'm looking at it more about who you are, like the
right.
power you have to be able to say, look, I'm going to be vulnerable enough to say this guy's the greatest love of my life, but I'm going to be strong enough to also say I can't stand them. I hate that motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything weak about saying someone hurt me. I am hurt. There's nothing weak about saying that.
No.
Yeah, and I'm really hurt. But
the part that blows me away is I don't think anyone that's ever hurt me like that, I could still say.
Yeah.
Is the love of my life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, was it? Yeah. I mean, like, but the thing is, it's just like, yeah, I mean, like, even though I don't even know if that I think he's a good person, but yeah, that was it.
I don't know
that's the deep, that's the deepest
that.
Connection I've ever felt with someone. And that's just, I'm not like, if I was left as the screenwriter of this story, I would have written it differently. But these are the facts. And like I said, like in all areas of life, news, personal relationships, to me, the truth is the most important thing and I'll figure out how to deal with it. I want to know the truth. Even when someone breaks up with me, tell me why. Tell me why. I can decide to fix it or not fix it. I can decide if something that I also don't like about myself or that just makes us not compatible. I like answers. Even like I'm a hard client to have because agents love to coddle you. And I go, no, tell me, did they think I was too fat? Am I not pretty enough? Am I not good enough? What's the reason? You know, what's the reason? If it's because I'm not pretty enough, well, I'm not fixed. I'm not changing my face. But if it's because, you know, my acting chops just aren't there, well, then I can go take a class and right. I'm happy to, you know, I just want to know the reason. That's it. Even if it hurts, it's better to have the real information. I don't want to live in lies. It's not conducive to growth in any way. Even if it hurts, I'm just like so tired of living. People live so often to protect themselves or to protect other people. When in reality, I think like if we just let the people take the hits, we would all be a lot stronger. Just take the hits.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that I say all the time, every little boy at least should have his ass kicked once in his life before he gets to be a man, and it would change this place for the better.
Dude, I can't believe I haven't been hit yet.
You've never been hit?
No, I've had a lot of death threats. I had a pretty serious death threat, though.
That's crazy, though. That's way different.
I had a very public comedy community where like the terrorism unit of the NYPD had to get involved.
What?
Yeah. I just was telling this story the other day. This guy threatened to kill me with the guillotine.
What? That's extreme. You gotta get you. You gotta put you in that motherfucker.
I was
somebody's gotta make sure you stay. Like that's a lot.
I said, how vintage.
It's gonna be a public gathering too.
Oh my god! I was like, there's lipstick on my teeth. I can't talk anymore. Sorry, I went to Jumbo's Clown Room last night for the first time.
Great spot. I haven't been there.
That's why my
years,
voice sounds like this.
Years. Is it still a fun spot?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
It was super fun. I was like, I see. They're like all lipstick on my teeth. That's gonna be my next traumatic story. Where are we in life? Yeah.
Well, so far you've lost the two loves.
Yeah.
One for sure. One potential.
Yeah.
And there's more loss on this list over
here. It's so nice to have someone have a screen. Like a
screen of your trauma right there. Look at it. It's your bullet points of trauma. Yeah,
the bullet points is what really is doing it for me. That's what's really doing it for me.
And my vision's shit, so it's got to be really
You're just
big.
Squinting and like, my dad died. Okay, fun.
But look how long we've been going and we haven't even gotten anywhere near your list. And I'd have to respect your time, so.
Yeah, no. We could fast forward. And
tell me whatever you want to tell me.
Where are we now in life? Okay. Oh, yeah. Actually, dad dying is next. Great. We're right on schedule. So, Lord Almighty. So what is it? It's November 16th, 2020 is where we're at now. Okay. Yeah. So November 16th, 2020. I get off, we're doing rooftop shows. It's COVID in New York. I had my phone on silent because I was on a rooftop for New York Comedy Club. I get off stage, turn my phone on, text message from my mom and a voicemail from my mom. And the text message is like, she's a teacher. So she's like, she was like, call me immediately. It's very important and urgent. And I go, fuck, who the fuck died?
You knew it.
You know, yes, of course. My mom notoriously has the worst poker face. A poker face so bad, you could see it through a text message. A non-poker face so bad, you could see it through a text message. And so I called her. And she told me that my dad had a heart attack. Later on, I would find out it was actually cardiac arrest, which is he was dead for like 20 minutes.
Oh, man.
On a golf course in New Jersey, which is honestly, I'm so thankful. There are so many. He owned a baseball card store for many years in Rosa Park, New Jersey, that I actually have since taken over. It's in Westchester now.
Baseball cards are back.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other thing that I spent a lot of time doing and I'm very passionate about. But so I'm so thankful that he was in a space with friends where they could call because, to have my mom come home and found him dead in the house or him like dead alone in the store, just like what a even thinking of that is just like this to saddest thing, especially knowing who my dad was and a person who liked to be surrounded. Like, unlike me, if I die alone, please know I'm very happy. If you find my body alone with my dog licking it weeks later, just know that's exactly how I wanted to go. And do not feel sadness for me, but if my dad had been found like that, it would have been the worst.
And I guess the golf course, there's so many people around there. That if you needed help, there's a ton of people there. It's probably a good place to.
Exactly. And there was someone actually in the like club who knew how to do CPR. So they were able to kind of start at, people when they say they know CPR, it's like, okay, I took a class too once, but like I have no fucking idea how to do it. Like I did it for like a Girl Scout badge. They got the medics. They came there. Luckily, he was pretty close to a hospital and it took them. He was dead for like, I mean, they say 20 minutes. I'm like, can you even come back from that? But he did. And it took like a lot of time for them to resuscitate him.
He came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he came back. He was in, I don't know if you would call it a coma, but like a non-responsive state for a couple of days. And so at that time, I literally just stayed in bed for 2 days, just like unable to move, crying, sobbing, trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with him. But in my head, I was like, he's not going to die. I don't believe it. I'm on my computer. It's such a career move, doing medical research, figuring out what they should do. In retrospect, I thought that they should do this thing where they lower your body temperature. Again, I've forgotten what all these things are called. My memory is actually really bad right now because of my grief. So I apologize for like the stuttering and not remembering. It's been a constant fucking problem. I like can't remember people's names and, that's a major grief response. So it's so hard to do stand up. I'm like an old lady going on stage with notes just because I can't fucking remember anything. And I'm someone who used to have a really good memory. I could like memorize the script for the school play in one day. They do this thing where they lower your body temperature basically so that your heart doesn't have to work so hard. And Even my mom asked in the emergency room, like, do you do that? And the reason they ended up not doing it was because if you are responsive, they don't do it. So he had a bodily response. But later on, a cardiologist was like, well, was it a voluntary or an involuntary response? Because a voluntary response, yes, you don't do that procedure. But an involuntary response, like basically you're jerking from the electric shocks they're putting in you, that's different. And it had been an involuntary response. So all kinds of fuck ups there. And like, I don't know. I don't want to be the person who like self-diagnoses on WebMD, but the fact that me with zero medical knowledge came to the conclusion that that's what should have been done, that's a sore spot. I can't dwell on the past, though. You know, that's what happened, and he was obviously, his heart was in bad condition anyway. Smoker since he was 12, it's fine.
12.
Yeah. So, you know, born in 1951, baby. So, crying in bed for 2 days. Day three, I'm like, you have to get up and do something. You crying in bed is not helping anyone. Make a game plan. Do something. Is there anything you can do? So I'm the whitest white woman move of my life. I go to the witchcraft store in my neighborhood. Can't even believe I'm telling you this. I show up. It's COVID, so you can't go inside shops. I show up in sweats. I'm a 30. How old am I at that time? 30. I had just turned 35. Yeah, I just turned 35. Grown ass woman showing up to the witchcraft store crying. it's so ridiculous.
Are you outside? Like,
I'm outside the witchcraft store. You have to call.
You have your mask and shit.
I have my mask. Crying and anyone who's cried into a mask, which I think is all of us at this point, crying into a mask, just crying, you're choking on your own tears. It's coming into the mask. You go, oh, this is terrible. I get on my phone because you have to call so someone comes out. I'm whimpering on the phone. I go, my dad, I need a candle. The woman, she goes, I'll be right out. The fucking witch comes out.
Witch.
And she's like, what's going on? And so, and I'm sobbing. And just one thing about being a New Yorker for 18 years, you have no problem crying in public. I am I'm not even an open person. I will bawl publicly anywhere. Won't bat an eyelash. So I'm outside the witchcraft store and I'm like, my dad had a heart attack and he's in a coma. So I needed to get one of these ceremonial candles, which didn't seem crazy to me because my dad.
No crystals for this?
I don't believe in crystals. Oh. Let's not get fucking crazy, Ryan. I don't believe in crystals. I'm not a dumb bitch. We're talking about a candle with glitter in it right now. And I need you to be fucking serious.
I'm sorry. Let me dial it back. All right.
I need you to be serious. A potion? Okay. Yes. A crystal? Let's not be childish.
Got it.
It's so sad because like I literally feel like exactly that way. And I know it's insane. So I tell her what's happening through gasps. And she says, well, we usually can't give these like ceremonial usually you can only request from one for yourself because like they take this power, you know, very seriously, as you should with anything. But I think she was like so scared by how I might react by telling me that I couldn't have a candle that she said, but because, you know, your dad is unresponsive and can't do it for himself. She made some That's witchy nice. Reason in her head why it could happen. She was like, bibbidi bobbidi boo, we'll fix this.
Sounds like a sales pitch too.
So they do, I give them the information you have to give, like, I guess, what information about him. I needed like a healing candle. So they're like carving, you know, snakes into a candle and green glitter healing. And while the witch was working on that, I actually did go to the crystal store. That's how dark the times were that they sent me. I think they just wanted me to not cry in front of the store for 20 minutes while they were carving the candle. So they sent me to the crystal store. I did go to the crystal store. Because that's how desperate I was. When crystals start getting involved, you know I am, no pun intended, at rock bottom. And so I was at rock bottom at the crystal store. And And then I came back and I got the candle and I lit it. And it's one of those candles. I liked it because it's similar to a lot of to Jewish customs.
Don't just gloss over. Would you gift? Did you just did you just eye candy at the crystal store?
No,
did you get
I got crystals. I think I got like a tiger's eye and an arrowhead.
Oh, is that those little ones I see sometimes?
The tiger's eye looks literally like the orange and black pattern, the same way like a tiger print rug would.
What is that?
It was all like healing protection. I don't remember. I can never remember what the crystals mean. Okay. I just put the rocks in addition. I go, well, this meant something. It had purpose at one time. And then, you know, you rinse it off with some water and you put it in the moonlight.
Listen, I've had some moon water too.
Yeah. You have that moon water. Yeah. You know, it's like, I believe in it, but it's like, if the moon's out, make some.
But does it work? I don't know. But why not give it this motherfucker?
Making moon water isn't going to hurt anyone.
No, it's not.
So
I drink it in the morning. I do.
Wait. You drink moon water every day?
No, in the morning. I said I leave it out overnight.
When it's a fall.
Morning water
good
back.
For you. Yeah, good for you.
Thank you.
I'm
a little dialed in.
Do it.
I'm witch-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Lean in. This is not what Sheryl Sandberg meant when she said lean in, but okay. Oh my God. I can't. Sometimes stuff is coming out of my mouth and it's like,
hold on.
I do feel this way.
We've left the crystal shop. We're now back to the candle shop.
I'm back
shop.
At the witch store.
I called it a candle shop, my bad.
That was nice of you. And I get it. And it's, you know, and then I go home and I burn it. And it's like, it burns for like 10 days in my sink. I left a candle burning in my, you know, my sink is metal. So for 10 days. And like I said, like I liked it and it felt right for my dad because he's Jewish. And, you know, when a person dies who's Jewish, you know, you'll light the candle and leave it out in memorial. So that's the thing. Like it did feel Jewish in some ways. So I'm like, even though when I am religious, my chosen religion truly is Wicca. It's the only, cause it's nature based. So it's like, it just feels realer to me. And again, they're kind of all religions are kind of the same, but, and then so I left that and I'm praying and I'm doing everything. I'm just doing anything I can think of, sending good energy, emailing like prayer groups across the country. Cause it's like my response to something is never going to be do nothing. That's not who I am. But I'm also like not a doctor. Like, so what do I just go, what can I do? And I do believe in energy. So
same.
It's like, I just had to do something because I said me sitting in bed crying, is not doing anything and it's making the situation about me and this isn't about me right now and let's just try what we can do. And also during that time I was also reading up in preparation for like because I really believe that he would come to again and how are we going to get through this as a family. And he did.
Were you allowed to visit at all? Did you go sit bedside?
Not at that time. COVID. I mean, it was like,
right,
yeah.
COVID,
No. Like my mom had been allowed.
Normally you would have. That's even more mind fuck.
Yeah, my mom. That's why I hadn't gone home to New Jersey.
Man.
Because my mom said, you can, of course. But I just didn't think. And like knowing my personality, my mom's personality, I just didn't think that me sitting at home crying was going to be helpful to my mom when she was obviously under stress. They have a dog there. So I was like, you have support through that. I'm like, certainly me coming home and crying all over your house is not going to be helpful in any way. A couple of days come by on like the third day, there's eye movement. He's responsive.
All right.
You know, fast forward. And this goes on for months and months and months. So he finally becomes responsive. I do end up visiting him. Like around, when did I get to visit him? I guess Thanksgiving was the first time I was able to visit him in the hospital.
What was that like?
And you could only go two visitors a day, one at a time, and that's it. And you had to sign in. So, of course, it's me and my mom. My brother lives in California, so he hadn't been home yet at this point because my mom was like, no point, you know. You literally can't come in the room. So we would try to FaceTime and stuff. And, I mean, I remember vividly walking into the hospital room the first time I saw my dad and he had brain damage, so he didn't know who I was, you know? And so obviously there's a lot of things where, you know, a lot of people have had experiences where their parents slowly forget who they are and who the kids are. But for overnight, someone to forget who you are and their entire life, especially the smartest person I've ever met. This is a man who got a perfect score on the math SAT. Actually, he got one wrong on the math SAT, but he claims that they were wrong. And I think they actually, it was like a mistake on a test. And this is like one of the funniest stories about him. But yes, so this is a fucking genius of a man. And I think when someone is so associated with their, like when I, like, I just think my dad, I think his mind. Mm-hmm. So to have that be the loss was like, that was a tough pill to swallow. And I mean, it was just me like going behind a curtain, sobbing, and then going back and like, you know, you don't want to sob over the person, even though he wouldn't have even processed it, I don't think. But I mean, he was, it wasn't like he was out of it. He was a human being, but like kind of like a childlike human being who was just existing. And so I was like, I'll just treat this as if I'm visiting a new person. You know, I know who he is. He doesn't know who I am, but that doesn't mean, you know, I can't fucking, I relate to people I don't know every night. That's literally right. My occupation. Yeah. I can do this. And so it was just a lot with visits like that for weeks. You know, I'm like taking the train to New Jersey to go to the hospital as much as I possibly can. And like, I really like, I put my career completely on hold at the point. I was like, I don't give a shit. And visiting him a lot and just trying to jar his memory in different ways. The first time after several visits, I was able to get something out of him that connected was we were playing Beatles music and he was able to continue Hey Jude on his own.
Wow.
The lyrics. So the first thing that came back to him was music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we were playing all his favorite. He's like Cyndi Lauper, Joni Mitchell, Beatles, like that's his music. And so, yeah, and I was so, and the minute he continued Hey Jude on his own, that's all I needed. I was like, yes, we're going to do this. Then student Corinne comes back and I'm researching, I'm pulling up things, I'm making playlists, I'm finding videos, I'm finding old photos. I'm like, we're going to make this man's memory come back. We can fucking do this. I know we can. If any family can do it, we can do it. So this goes on. His memory does start coming back. Slowly, he starts wrecking, like, me and my mom and my brother, obviously, and his brother are the kind of only people he ever really ended up recognizing again. But he recognizes us. It comes in and out. At one point, he did propose to me because that when he didn't know who I was. And I was like, flattered, you are the first man to ask. But I don't know how I feel about that. And, you know, I'm a 35-year-old woman. So my friends are like, what did you say? You know? And I finally started talking about it on stage. And I'm like, it's not lost on me that the first man to propose was, number one, my dad. And number two, had brain damage. So I'll work on that. I compartmentalize that and I'll work on that
and
later.
Twice your age.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah. So, so that's coming back. He finally in like, we go through Christmas. He's still in the hospital. Mary coming in and out. He goes to like a rehab center. Finally in, I think it was February 2021, he makes it home. He's well enough to make it home, have people in and out. My brother and I kind of reschedule our entire lives to take shifts because my mom couldn't handle it alone. And to add to all this, my dad's 6'6". So just
damn,
a really, like, that's the same height as Michael Jordan, to put it into perspective. Yes. Really skinny, but 6'6". And so even, you know, his equilibrium's all off. So even to lead him around the house, you almost need two people just to be that tall. And thank God my brother's tall, but me and my mom are really short. And so he's home. He has people coming, like, you know, nurses coming, but no one's there full time except for the family. And my brother and I kind of just take shifts. So I'm there for like almost a week. And then my brother flies in from California to do his shift. And during that time, I mean, I was crying a lot, kind of from exhaustion, because like I would have to wake up at like 6 a.m, which for a comic was just, and you're just dealing with someone who you know, who you love, but it's having like, kind, you know, there's brain damage. There's wild reactions to things. Sometimes he's like grabbing your arm aggressively. I'm never scared of him because it's my dad, but you know, it's just you're just constantly in a state of shock, and you don't really know how to explain it to any of your friends. And I only found like one person that I knew who had a kind of a similar experience. Her mom was in a pretty bad car accident, so I knew a little bit about what to expect. But I didn't know this about cardiac arrest or heart attacks. I thought either you live or you don't. I didn't know there was a part where you live and you have brain damage.
Right.
I just didn't know that. I didn't I never knew that that was...
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A thing from heart stuff. I knew that was a thing from, like, you know, head trauma. And then week two, I go, at the time of visit, I'm dating a comic in North Carolina. I fly out to visit him. My brother takes a shift. While literally the moment I land in North Carolina, I get a call that my dad went into cardiac arrest again. Oh. And I'm like, fuck. And so there was this constant anxiety I had around about even leaving. And then it was only reinforced because literally the moment I left, I'm on a 90-minute plane. And in that time that I left, something bad did happen, which is bad for anyone, but especially bad for a person with obsessive compulsive disorder, because obsessive compulsive disorder, especially the kind I have, is literally just thinking if you don't do things in a certain way, something bad is going to happen to someone you love. And even though logically I know me getting on that plane to North Carolina had nothing to do with that happening, it still is like your worst fear the worst part of your anxiety disorder is coming true. So then we go back to Woo Woo because I'm in North Carolina. My mom's like, there's no point in flying back now. He's just, you know, we go through the process again. This time they did the body temperature cool down thing. And this happened right after he had really started to acknowledge where he was. I think going home to his house where he lived really lit up a lot of memories. He had been FaceTiming with his older brother. Things were coming back. He knew I was his daughter. Like, you know, there was a lot of memories still missing. But there were pieces. Right. There were pieces there. And I gotta say, throughout the whole experience, the one thing that remained intact was his sense of humor, which was a really interesting experience for me as a stand-up comedian. So I'm on the floor, I'm doing meditations and trying to connect with him spiritually on the bathroom floor of this fucking hotel that I'm in, visiting my boyfriend. I got a hotel because I'm gonna stay in his house. He lived with his sister. That's not another part of the story though. That's another trauma, me dating men in their 40s who don't live by themselves. It's my own fault.
You have to come back for that episode.
My own fucking fault. So we basically, he does come to from that stage, the cool down, but we basically were back to one. He's back to the same memory loss that experienced the first time. And after that, he's in the hospital for a couple months and we're just not seeing a ton of progress. He has catheters, getting a ton of UTIs, just like everything that there, it's not just the heart. There's just everything that can go wrong is. And, you know, then there's a higher risk of COVID. There's just so much going on. Staying in a hospital when you're already sick is actually really dangerous because you're surrounded by sick people and people don't think of that.
That's
but
right.
It's like you want to really get the person out of the hospital as soon as possible. But when they need so much assistance for their heart, that's also hard. So we got him into some kind of, I think, a rehab again. It wasn't working. He's getting sick. He's going back to the hospital all the time. This keeps happening. It's just like we're all on edge. Every time the phone rings, something terrible is happening. And my dad is like, I mean, he has brain damage, but he's, you know, getting out of his bed, crawling around the hospital floor, like not being the best patient, but also he has brain damage. And it seemed like the medical professionals around him, like, were reacting like this was a completely cognizant, grown 69-year-old man crawling around the floor. And I'm like, he has brain damage. Like, this is not like he's doing it to fuck with you.
Yeah, right. like,
and I was just flabbergasted time and time again about how they were talking to him as if he was just someone being difficult, not someone who had brain damage. I don't know. I had to make conversations with nurses about this, but whatever. We kind of all know that thing at this point, we've done everything. So my mom, you know, has the FaceTime meeting for me and my brother to tell me that she thinks we need to put dad in hospice. And I am like, it's for me, the word hospice feels like giving up.
It also scares me. I always feel like everybody that goes into hospice is dead within like 4 weeks of getting in there.
Well, there's some, actually, I had watched this thing, Surviving Death, on Netflix, and someone like was like living basically in a hospice stay for like years and years and years, and she looked like she was fucking loving life. And I'm like, there's always one. Yeah. I was like, were you like lonely or like what happened here? She looked great. But whatever, kudos to her.
I never heard that.
If you watch Surviving Death on Netflix, it's amazing. Okay. It really like helped me. I was really getting into like connecting with the afterlife in that realm because I knew I would have to prepare. You know, even if it wasn't, even if my dad had lived, it would only be maximum. My dad was only going to live a couple years. Best case scenario, he was only going to live like 2 years more. So I knew that I needed to start preparing for his death. But yeah, so he's in hospice. I had already thought it on my own. So it made me feel like it wasn't like a haphazard decision because my mom and I had separately had the same thought that like it's time for hospice. And I think like, You know, when you think about your final days, you want them to be in a nice place. A hospital is not a nice. I'm not like an anti-hospital person, but a hospital is not a nice place.
No.
Honestly, hospice is a nice place. It was comfortable. It was a nice hotel room. Like good.
Like a facility.
Yeah, no, I've spent a lot of time as a comic in hotel rooms. It just felt like a hotel room. He had a beautiful window with a garden. Like I'm like when I went into there, I go, this is what I would want to look out the window and see this if I'm going to die. Because he couldn't be home. That wasn't a choice. We weren't able to physically take care of him in the way that he needed to be taken care of. So that just became like me going almost every day to New Jersey, spending just, tens of thousands of dollars on Ubers. To take the train, like it was so far, I don't have a car. Like that was the only way to effectively be able to visit him and not completely ruin the career that I had worked on. And like living at home, no one wanted me home. So that wasn't an option either. But I just continued to do that. And honestly, hospice was probably one of the more positive experiences of this whole thing because my dad was in and out of knowing who I was. But like we had a lot of good times in hospice when I just was like, I'm going to just treat him as, again, like we're just going to make the best of it. I'm not going to go in and be sad and we're just going to have fucking fun. One of my favorite memories in hospice is my dad was always like a ladies man, but obviously you have no filter when you have brain damage. So you know, just really, and hard as one of the guys we fucked women who has fought so long and hard against sexual assault. And then him just being like, you know, nice rack to the nurses who come in. He would tell, you know, maybe not that excessive. I don't want to tarnish his name in the afterlife, but he would tell all the hospice nurses that he was a porn star. And then my mom would be like, Randy. And he would be like, I'm sorry, you're right. I just owned a sex shop. And like, so, like really the funniest. When I first showed up at hospice, he starts yelling down the hallway, come in, my daughter's here, come get an autograph while you can. Wild shit.
Yeah.
Fun. Because that was what was so important. Like, even though most of Randy was missing, like my favorite part and the part that certainly inspired me the most was like still so alive. And it was like, wow.
That's
so like
awesome.
Music and humor is this powerful. Then even after you've been dead, they've brought you back
you
to
died.
Life two times.
Yeah.
It's so strong that it comes through. And it wasn't a generic sense of humor. It was still like his. He has like a like kind of a mischievous, like I'm going to say the most see how fucked up of a thing I can say to you. Like it's a very. He's not like a dad funny. He's like stand-up comedian funny. And so there was a lot of that. He would always try to get out of bed and stuff. And again, like 6'6", this is so much to handle. So one of my favorite memories was I told him that he was going on a date with a hot lady later that day. He's in his like, it was like a wheelchair, but they lock you in with like a table so you can't get out. I don't know what exactly it's called, but he was in that and he just would always try to get out of it. But it was better than being in a bed because you got to sit up for once.
Yeah.
Better for the blood flow, you know, and blood flow is so important with a heart issue. And so I would have to distract him. And I decided that he was going on a date. I said, like, the limo is coming. I took flowers from the vases in hospice. I was like, you have to give this to your date. We're changing his outfit into a new thing. I'm combing his hair. I made him pose for a picture. Like, we really did it. And so it was just fun because I'm like, I saw a lot of people visiting hospice. And they were kind of just like sitting with their loved ones. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm not going to I can't criticize how you decide. But I was fucking coming in like a preschool teacher with a fucking plan every time. I'm like, we're going to play a game. We're going to sing a song. I interviewed him at one point, wrote down the answers. I'm like, I don't care if they're wild. I don't care.
You have that recorded?
It was a handwritten interview. Okay. Like, I was a journalist. Yeah. We made videos. We watched a lot of Deal or No Deal, lot of Jeopardy, things that he really liked. Cause again, like a numbers man.
Mental stimulation. Yeah.
Deal or No Deal, he seemed to, like, you know, and it's good because it's a show where you can root for people. We did get to see someone win the million. We're cheering.
Oh, nice.
You know, just like stuff like that. Yeah. And then that he was there for a couple of months. And like there's a couple of times like they know when right when you're about to die, basically. And that's like a different state that, you know, hospice nurses are trained to recognize. And so where there was one false alarm, I take it, you know, my mom calls me. She says, I think it's time. I, of course, get in an Uber immediately, go to hospice. I get there and my dad's like kicking around, laughing. I go, who said that he was dying? I was like, he looks honestly better than he's been in weeks. And then everyone leaves the room. And I was like, well, I'm already here. So I'll sleep over with you because you're during like this final days of death, you don't have any restrictions on how long you can visit. Family is allowed to be there 24/7. Okay. Basically, you just have to call and let them know that you're going
to
come.
Everyone should go to this fucking hospice.
Yeah. It was
unlike any hospice story I've ever heard.
Oh, really? I mean, listen.
Wait, I'm sorry to be insensitive real quick, but yeah. We're going for an hour and 20. We got to do.
Yes.
What time is it right now?
1:09.
And what time you got to get out of here?
I need to go. We need to be. Oh, yeah. We probably need to like wrap. Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I don't want to. I mean, oh, my God.
I can tie a ribbon on it.
Are you sure?
We're almost done. I mean, we're moments from his death.
I don't want to rush you to tell his story of your father.
We're moments from his death. This is great. We've timed this great. I have a BFA in directing.
I'm so sorry.
It's all good. It's okay. We're moments. This one was a trick. So I go, I was like, Dad, are you fucking with them? And then I was like, are you pretending to die? And then we had a laugh.
Was he?
I mean, again, too much brain damage to get a straight answer, but sure seemed like it.
That's actually pretty interesting.
And I was like, you're a troublemaker and I respect it. And then, yeah. And then, I left to see my boyfriend in North Carolina one more time. Of course, come back immediately as soon as I land, get a call. I get a call that he's, again, this time for real, in the final stages of life. Ended up being the last person to see him alive from the family. And it was the only time we're in hospice where it was really hard to be around because it was the only time that he seemed just so sick. Just so, I mean, he was weak. And I mean, his legs were the size of my arm, truly.
Oh, man. That's a withering. Skinny for a big man.
Oh, yeah. Withering away. I mean, it just, you know, to see someone truly evaporate in front of your eyes, really.
One of my grandmothers died like that. And I was, honestly, I know exactly. I was scared to hug her.
Yeah.
I felt like I would break all her bones if I squeezed her.
Yeah, just an absolutely wild experience to have. And he passed away. He was basically coughing for most of my last visit because, you know, just the fluids are coming up. I kind of just knew. And before I left, I was like, I'm going to come see you in 2 days. But I was like, if you feel like you need to go, you can go. Like, I'm okay with that. Damn it, we almost made it. I know you love tear porn.
I don't love it.
I know you go and jerk off at home to this. I fucking
this
know.
Is, trust me when I tell you, this is not in my search engine.
I walked in and I was like, you can't cry. You can't give this man what he lives.
I don't want it.
We know male comedians are fucking predators. and we can't give them this.
I don't want. At least I'd rather have tears than anything else.
And then he I said it was very cinematic. I literally said, I love you. Gave him a kiss on the forehead. Walked out of hospice, and I thought he couldn't respond. And then right as I'm like passing through the frame of the door, I hear him go, love you. And I go, nice. And you just know there's such a kind. Like, I just fucking knew every part of this. It was like really like. I knew that in my head I had June, as soon as he had a cardiac arrest in November, immediately the thing that came into my mind was I said to myself, we'll know more in June. He died June 29th. That was the first thought I had months before. My family kept asking questions. I don't know what to tell you. I said, I know we'll know more in June. I know we'll know more in June. And we did. I mean, it was not great news, but it was fine. And I'm really fortunate that I had a lot of time with him, because my mom kind of always said, it's not the same version of him, but this is how he is at this stage in his life. And so we need to appreciate him. And 100%, you know, then I go to Costa Rica, mourn his death. During that time, I wake up in the middle of the night with the same kind of Carl jolt. And I find out that my childhood best friend had died 2 years prior and I didn't know. And
what?
That's a wrap, everybody.
All right, hold on. Sit there for a second.
That's a wrap.
First of all, thank you.
That's back to one.
Advice you would give to your 16-year-old self, because I do want to hear that. And then promote whatever you want.
My 16-year-old self, I say, bitch, you keep practicing that Oscar speech in the mirror, because you're going to get there. So I love my 16-year-old self and I love me now. And don't change a thing. You're going to be a Spice Girl and you're going to win an Oscar.
I love it. I love it.
And don't let anyone fucking dim your light or tell you that you're too fucking cocky or a narcissist. You're exactly the way you need to be. That's that.
Great.
And
promote it all.
Plug. Yeah, I'm on all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter at Philanthropy Gal. It's tongue in cheek. I don't think I'm like fucking giving back to the universe, guys. Just no one can fucking spell my name right. So I had to do a word that you can look up in the dictionary, Philanthropy Gal. And most importantly, watch our special day. It's Christina Hutchinson and my debut comedy special on YouTube. You can access it for free, youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. Real, real labor of love. And I think even if you don't think it's funny, like, it's cool that artists are making their own shit. So, you know, watch it, give it a like. And then Guys We Fucked podcast. It's a Luminary podcast, but it's, you know, available on the Luminary channel on Apple Podcasts for free. Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. I truly, really think it's one of the best podcasts out there. And I'm not someone who thinks everything she does is great. I really think it's a great podcast. And I think that anyone can get something out of it. So
agreed.
My mom even likes it. She don't fucking like anything. So.
Well, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.